Basically, what it is, it's a type of medicine that promotes wellness with the least amount of invasive therapy. So you try to start at the basic level. Like, the other thing that I do is I use different therapies from different areas. It's called eclectic. So sometimes I use water, sometimes I use plants, sometimes homeopathy, if anyone's familiar with that, and we'll talk about that a little later. The other goal of naturopathy is to treat the whole person and really to find the root of the cause. Like, the question I always ask is, why? I can't always answer it, but at least I ask, you know, because that's how I can find out a lot of information. And I think the most important thing is really believing in the healing power of nature, that we have the ability to heal ourselves. Sometimes we just need like a little help. But I think that's really important. And there's several states that license naturopaths, and Washington, one of them, Connecticut, another. There's Hawaii, Alaska, Oregon, Utah, Vermont, Montana, Maine, Arizona, Colorado, and New Hampshire. Those are the ones I can think of. Also in British Columbia, in Canada and Ontario. And I'm not sure about the other provinces, but those are the ones that I know for sure. And there are three schools in the United States that educate people in naturopathic medicine. One is Bastyr in Seattle. Another is National College of Naturopathic Medicine in Portland. In Scottsdale, Arizona, it's called Southwest Naturopathic School. I'm not sure. That one came about after I graduated. So in this book. And in Connecticut, there is one starting, actually started in this fall, so there are actually four in the U.S. and one in Ontario in Canada. So it's really growing. And you might wonder why certain states have licensure as opposed to others. And this is where people who are interested in practicing have gone and developed people's awareness that we want this, and there are other people that want this type of medicine. Like I said before, I use botanical medicines in my practice, which are plants, basically, and also I look at a lot of nutritional, do a lot of nutritional counseling. I use vitamins and mineral supplementation when they're needed, and some physical medicine, and I use homeopathy. And now, briefly, I can describe what homeopathy is, because it's a really large field, but in a nutshell, it was developed by Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in Germany, I think at the 1830s to 1850s, or 1880s, I'm not sure. And he was an MD, and he decided that he didn't really like the harmful effects that occurred when whatever the practice of medicine was that day. I think they used arsenic and other type of invasive, really deadly substances. And so he decided that, I'm not exactly sure how he did this, but in homeopathy, he took a substance and he diluted it down so it could no longer be measured, so that the physical molecules could no longer be measured. So basically what was left was the energy of it. It's hard to think of in the Western way, but it works, just believe that. And homeopathy is like cures like. And I'll give you an example. Think of, say if you have a cold and your eyes are watering, your nose is running and the discharge like burns your lip, and you're sneezing. Well, the first thing that someone might think of acutely would be Allium Cepa, which comes from onions, because when you cut an onion, those are the symptoms. Okay, got that? So like cures like. So that's just one example. There are homeopaths that treat people constitutionally. So what they'll do is they'll sit with someone for an hour and a half and do an interview. Then they'll look through all these old, you know, dusty books and figure out what the best constitutional remedy is for this person, looking at the whole picture, like how you sleep, do you have one foot out? You know, it's really, really minute, obscure differences in people that, you know, other people, most people don't even care about, but to them it's very, very important. I only use homeopathy acutely, so I don't do the constitutional method. And what I do in Connecticut is I've had my practice since December of 96, and I'm really working to build a network with MDs, which I find to be so important and helpful to the people that see me, because I want to provide a full service and also know where my limitations are. You know, so that's really my goal. And one of the nice things about Connecticut is that there's insurance coverage. Not 100%, but more people are asking for it. And I think that's the way in Washington State they're starting a pilot program, which is really nice because it costs less. Prevention, you know, that Ben Franklin saying, what is it, an ounce of prevention or
is worth a pound.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's wonderful. And what I'd like to talk to you today about is winter ailments, like things you can do for yourself when different, you know, colds, sore throats, ear trouble, coughs, things come up. But before that, we need to talk a little bit about the immune system, like what is it? I mean, that's like a big buzzword these days, like you boost your immune system, support your immune system, but like, so what? The so what is that the immune system is composed of white blood cells, and that's basically like the army that keeps us healthy. It's like they're in close communication with each other. They're finding this out through doing experiments. They know, they send scouts out, these white blood cells, so they know like if there's a bacteria or virus that's just starting to infiltrate. And then they attack it and defeat the different colonies that are developing. So it's really important to keep your immune system intact, because it basically keeps us alive. I mean, it's like the scanner, you know. So a few ways that you can stimulate your immune system or boost your immune system, and this is the most important one, is rest. You might think, rest and drink water, big deal. But it's very important, because if you aren't able to rest and give your body a rest, you're not going to be able to help other people. So a lot of people don't think of that, but you need to take care of yourself first, because then you won't be able to help others. And sometimes if you even have to think about, do I need to rest, the answer is always yes. Because if you have to ask, then there's something in there knows that you need to rest. Exercise, of course, is always important, and at home, and you know, it's never a problem, because it's a wonderful, delightful way to get exercise, like you know, doing the wood, which I did this morning, and it was great. I feel really good about it. Fluids. Fluids are really important. 8 to 10 glasses a day of water. It's important. When people say why it's important for your kidneys. You want to be able to maintain a certain level of water moving through your system to move toxins out. Because we're alive, our cells are always putting out toxins as part of the process of living. And a large amount of water being flushed through a system is really important to maintain health. And this doesn't really include coffee or black tea, because they actually leach fluid from your cells and cause dehydration. So it's really important to have water without coffee or tea. That doesn't include herbal teas, which don't have caffeine in it, because it classifies as water. Which there's a little section in here about just caffeine in general. Caffeine can, I know you guys have heard all this before, but caffeine gives you that nice quick fix, but in the long run, it stresses your adrenal glands, which help you with stress, and it gives you a false elevation. So that goes back to rest. when you think, you need another cup of coffee, it means you need rest. That's just the way it is. And a wonderful resource that's here in terms of stimulating your immune system is the sauna. I did it last night. It's really good. I would really recommend, if you have access to a sauna, I like to do it every week because it's really good to open your pores, to help you sweat, to remove toxins. And that just decreases the load on your body. In terms of keeping yourself healthy. It's also important, too, to drink water after you are in the sauna because it takes a lot of water out. And if you don't have access to a sauna, a shower is really nice. Warm shower and end with cold. Because what happens with short-term cold water, it's actually invigorating and stimulating, as opposed to like long-term cold where it's actually depressive. So short-term, what you'll actually feel is like your body will be hot. You're really, really surprised if any dare to do it. But it's very invigorating and stimulating. But you kind of have to talk yourself into it because it's like 1, 2, 3. It is. Even when you're feeling well, it's like you have a glow. So it's really wonderful. The next thing is thymus thumping, and it's a little not a group activity, but this is really good. I'm going to help everyone find their thymuses. And what you want to do, take your little right index finger, and right, see there's a little notch here, right where your windpipe comes down, and there's a little notch where basically your manubrium, part of your ribs and all that stuff. So you want to move down, straight down the line, like 3 inches. It's probably for you, Dimitri, is like 4 inches. It varies. It's like between 2.5 and 4 inches. And you want to move down to about that point. And you can push. You can feel around this area on your chest, and you'll feel an area that's actually a little more sensitive. That's your thymus. Your thymus is where some of your white blood cells are produced. So when you're feeling bad, if you're in the dining hall, you don't want people to see, you can just hunch down and go 1, 2, 3. All you need to do is tap it. It's called thymus thumping. Just go 1, 2, 3. Actually, if you want to do it with your like 4 fingers, 1, 2, 3. Then you take both hands and take your fingers, just go 1, 2, 3. That just sets it. It's not only a physical thing, but it's an energy thing. And it's just a little easy. I'm just trying to like easy things. It's not like, oh yeah, we'll run 10 miles. It might be easy for some people. And you can do that 3 times a day or just when you remember. That's when I do it. Or if you just don't feel quite right, just 1, 2, 3. The cheating is just go 1, 2, 3 with your index finger and thumb, and you're just like that. So the next exciting topic is botanical medicines in terms of stimulating your immune system, and probably everyone has heard of echinacea. That's also called purple coneflower, and it grows wild, especially in the Midwest. I think some in the mountains around, but I'm not sure exactly. And this stimulates the production of white blood cells in your body. This is one of the safest botanical medicines, and it would be like one of the only ones that I would recommend for pregnant women, because it's safe, safe to the child in utero. So, and they're different. And the ways to use the echinacea is it's really good for fighting viruses or early bacterias, okay? And there are different ways that the echinacea, and actually all the botanicals, come. You can get it freeze-dried, which means it comes in capsules. Who's this? And also in tincture, and that means that the medicinal components are extracted in the alcohol. They're also, they have botanicals in glycerin. This is for children and also people who have trouble with alcohol. That works really well. The other way is for certain of the botanicals that have a better flavor, teas. And one company that has, I know echinacea tea is traditional medicines, which you can get. I don't know if there's a health food store like Wenatchee. Does anyone have a show hand? I do all my research.
You can get stuff on the boat. For those of you that are new to Holden Village, you can order stuff to Bear Foods in Chelan and get sent out on the boat.
So is there like a catalog or something that you know what's there? Or you need to know what you need?
You need to write and just request what you need.
Oh, okay.
And I'll send them.
Thank you. And with echinacea, what you really want to do is you want to use it for a maximum of a 2-week period and then give yourself a week or 2-week break. Not because it's going to harm you, but it's kind of done its job. It's like you're basically pumping your thymus and the other areas that make white blood cells. And you want to give them a break because more than that, they're not doing anything.
So in other words, you're healthy, you take that 2 weeks in a row, stop a week, 2 weeks, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, no, don't take it if you're healthy.
Okay.
Don't waste it.
Right.
Wait until you're, like when you have to ask yourself these questions, and that's where it is important in terms of like being in contact with yourself and saying, instead of saying, oh, well, I'm fine, and then the next day you're like dropped in the bed because you can't get up. It's like, okay, well, something's happening and things, they're not quite right, and I can't put my finger on it, but I don't feel right. That's when you take it. I mean, and I pump it. I do about 2 to 4 hours. Because I know it's short-term, I'll do that like for 1 or 2 days. And if I don't feel better by then, I move to something else. But it's like short-term. Astragalus root, that's another. This actually comes from the East. It's another immune stimulator. This one, you don't need to really give yourself a break with the, like you do with the echinacea.
How do you spell that?
Oh, Astragalus. It's root. And sometimes they have in combination. So it's, Hydrastis is the next one. This one isn't really an immune stimulator. Also, this is known as golden seal. But it's really good for bacterial infections, and you know you have one when you have green mucus. Either you're coughing it up or just have it discharge from your nose. This is harder in your stomach. So 3 or 4 times a day, about a week. This one isn't recommended in pregnancy. I mean, so really echinacea is the only one that's safe. Same with the astragalus, not in pregnancy. So these are like the main three. So I'm kind of hitting the highlights just to kind of give everyone an overview. And in terms of vitamins, vitamin C is, of course, the number one vitamin to boost your immune system. When you can take vitamin C every day, and that's fine. When you're sick, though, you can take up to 8 grams a day. You can do like 2 grams every 4 hours. The powder actually is easier on your stomach than like capsules and stuff. This makes it easier in water. And the good thing about vitamin C, you have too much. Like when in the business they say it's a bowel tolerance, which means your stools start to get loose because it's water soluble. So it just starts pulling water out of your body. So you just cut back. And then when your stools firm up again, that you're at the right level for what you need. And then you cut back because you don't need it anymore. It's really, really effective. Two more include zinc. It's really important. It's not only an antioxidant, but it also, along with B6, which, this is another vitamin, is these things really get worn down when you're ill. They're cofactors for a lot of other biochemical processes going on. So it's like the wheels don't turn unless you have the zinc and B6. And zinc is 15 to 30 milligrams a day. And B6 could be 50 to 100 milligrams a day, or maybe twice a day. Yes?
You can speak to it. Oranges, other ways to get vitamin C. Are there other ways to get zinc? What would we eat today?
Well, I have a list at home, but I don't know.
What about, like, you say about taking vitamin C powder, what about, like, eating more oranges or rosehip tea?
Those are really good sources to use. I think if you're able to do that, let's just put it this way. Those are really good things to do, but when you're sick, you might as well just, like, pack your punches or go to bed and rest.
Oranges each have, it's either 30 or 60 milligrams of vitamin C, so it's not a huge amount if you're trying to get the really large doses because you're getting sick.
Yeah, so they're good.
I think they're good as a preventative.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they help. They're a natural source.
Yes, they're very good.
But sometimes you may need more than what an orange.
Yes.
What's that Paul Simon song? All that winter we shared a cold, drank all the orange juice we could hold.
Well, that I disagree with, but it's a good saying.
Yeah, I was going to say about the zinc, though, that for males, every urologist I've talked to said it's very good in reducing the size of the prostate gland.
Yes.
Yes. And they say the best thing to do is get it in a supplement. Don't expect it to get it from Walmart vitamins or something, but buy a zinc supplement. And I've been doing it for years, and I'm still all right. I'm past an age range.
Excellent. That's right, good. Yeah.
How many times you get up each night?
Sorry?
How many times you get up each night?
Three. That's because I don't want a TURP. I get one. I get one TURP. Transurethral resection of the urethral. No, thank you. You don't have to. I realized that about you. So you don't have a problem. You know, the zinc supplement.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about
Colby's
then?
Do
you think that's effective?
That's the zinc. Lawson is too much sugar in it.
Oh.
That's my only complaint. I mean, it doesn't help, but I have other things you can do. Which takes me to the next area is sugar, which is actually a really big no-no when you're ill, because they affect the white blood cells directly, and what they do, they've done studies, basically what they say in the studies that they see, like, the white blood cells acting like armies, and they see them move forward, they're really communicating with where they need to go. When they introduce sugar into a system, they get disoriented, it's almost like they're drunk, because they lose their orientation. I don't really know what happens, but that's how it is described. And so it decreases your effectiveness to becoming well, because they aren't able, like, to find the viruses and the bacteria to get rid of them. Another one is milk, mainly because milk is a big mucus producer, and viruses and bacteria really love mucus, because that's how where they colonize and they just raise their families. So really, if you have a cold or you have a nasal or sinus congestion, the last thing you want to do is put more mucus into your body, because it just puts more work on your system to break it down and drain.
Would yogurt be in the same category?
Excuse me?
Would yogurt be in the same category?
Usually the amount of yogurt is less than the amount of the volume of milk that people can drink. And I think because it has the other properties of the lactobacillus in terms of being really helpful for the gastrointestinal system, no. It's fermented, so things change a bit. Even the amount of mucus that is produced is less. So what we get to move to now is actual areas that we can look at and things that we can do to help yourself feel better. The first one is nasal congestion or sinusitis. And one of the best things you can do is pick up a vaporizer. Or if you don't have a vaporizer, you know what a vaporizer is, that's what the babies have, you put hot water in, you put little Vicks in the top, don't use Vicks, they have petrol and other garbage. But you can use, like, eucalyptus oil or thyme oil. Which, the thyme and eucalyptus, they're, not only are they mucolytic or they break up mucus, but they also are antibiotic. So when you're breathing them in, they're really allowing the fumes to move to areas where you wouldn't really be able to get to knock those guys out. If you don't have a vaporizer, then steam inhalation, which basically all it takes is hot water in a bowl, towel over your head, and some breathing deeply. Or, you know, like vaporizer, you can give you a whole room.
What about a cool mist?
A cool mist is fine. It's fine. I know a lot of people are concerned about the bacteria that grows in like the warm vaporizers. Just clean it. I mean, because people really aren't diligent enough to be cleaning the vaporizer. They should be cleaned like thoroughly after every use. So I think that's where the people have moved to the cool mist. So I like the warm. Actually, the cool mist, they don't have a medicine well.
No, that's true.
So that's why I like the vaporizer. Contrast hydrotherapy is kind of what you're doing in the sauna, but this is just on a smaller scale. Like in the sauna, you go like bake yourself, then you go cool off. That's contrast. It's really stimulating to the system. Well, for contrast hydrotherapy, in terms of sinusitis, think so. You have all this sinus pressure. How do you get the fluid to move? What do you do? Well, you have two basins of water. One of them is warm at a temperature of 105 to 115, but the other one is ice water. Two washcloths. What you want to do is take put the washcloth in the hot water and put it right up here on your sinuses for 3 minutes. Then take it off, dip the washcloth into the ice water. You want, you know, the other washcloth. Then put that on it for 30 seconds. You want to do that 3 times and end with cold. What that does, what the heat does, is it causes things to dilate and allow the blood nutrition to move into the area. And what the cold does is it causes things to constrict and it moves the byproducts out. So you're actually creating a pumping motion as opposed to just static. So that way, if things are moving out, there's less chance for more bacteria to grow.
How's that in comparison with the idea of pressing down and in? Which some people suggest.
Oh, it's great.
Because that drains a lot.
Oh, just yeah. Yeah, that's really good. There's no problem with that. That's an excellent one. I put it next time.
How long do they need to use?
3 minutes for hot and 30 seconds cold. So it's like I learned it as a rules of three. 3 minutes hot, 30 seconds cold, 3 times. Bing. You're done. The next one everyone will love. This is a wet sock treatment. What you need is a pair of cotton socks and a pair of wool socks. What you want to do is you want to put the cotton socks in water, wring them out, go sit on the side of your bed, put them on your feet, then you put wool socks on top, go to bed, 4 to 5 hours. What that does, actually, it's a big immune stimulator. It also drains, it changes the fluid balance. It moves that fluid from your head and distributes it throughout your system. I love it. My husband thinks I'm nuts. He goes, "You're too sick to do that." And I say, "It's the best thing. I really like it." Maybe because it's just so weird.
So repeat that again, Sherry. You put hot?
No, you need wet. What? Cotton socks, dry wool socks.
Okay.
And go to bed. To make it even better, because this will really help you sweat, put on sweats, hat, gloves, and you'll feel so much better, unless you're delirious first. Yeah. What?
That's like the old grandmother cure.
It's sweating
yourself out.
It works. Mm-hmm. It works, I tell you.
So what's this good for then, for doing that? Just getting the body to circulate?
It's really good for fever.
Yeah.
And it's really good for immune stimulation. It's also really good for moving fluid.
Okay.
It's easy. But the mistake I made when I first did it is I put the socks on in the bathroom. Then I had to walk in the wet socks. It was really uncomfortable. So I learned to sit on the bed. Sore throats. Oh, I actually need to tell you why I'm doing this at all, because when I first got here, I was on the plane from Connecticut. I was on the plane, too much recirculated air, and I was sick right here, lymph node up, and it started moving up my ear, and I thought, I don't have anything with me. I don't have anything with me. So I thought, well, if there's nothing here, what do you do? So this is kind of like, so if you don't have anything, what do you do? The first thing you want to do with a sore throat is cover it up to keep it warm, because you want to keep that heat in. Just, it feels really nice. You can use a turtleneck, you can use a towel, you can use a bandana, or you just a jacket that comes up. It really makes a big difference. I have a really easy gargle, very simple. One cup of water. And here I was using 10 shakes of salt. Usually it's a pinch, but I have 10 shakes. That seemed to be right. A teaspoon of honey and a teaspoon of lemon. And then do that twice a day. And actually the salt and the honey are antibacterial. Like you may have heard, like you put salt on, honey on a wound, because it they've actually done studies and the honey kills bacteria. It's also very soothing. And the lemon is really good because it decreases the swelling in your throat, and it also clears out mucus. Like a lot of opera singers, that they do have little spritzers of lemon juice and honey to really help get them so they can get down deep and clear things out. Twice a day is good. Silvery elm is really good to soothe your throat. There's this brand is called Thayer's, and they make lozenges, and they're the slippery elm, they're really good. Also, traditional medicine, who puts out that, whatever that other tea was, echinacea, they have a throat coat tea, which is really, really makes things easy to swallow and actually even breathe, because when your throat is sore, it's even painful, or it's rough to breathe. The last one in terms of sore throats is a carrot poultice. So what you need to do here is grate about, a quarter to a half cups of carrots and place it in a cheesecloth or like an old bed sheet and fold it over to keep the carrots in. Then you can safety pin it around your neck. And what this does, it pulls out the pain because it's very drawing. And a lot of naturopathy was based on old things that people like forgot and said, oh, they don't work, let's use antibiotics. It's like, well, the wheel is turning. I mean, antibiotics are really useful, and I think that they're really useful when they're used when they're really needed, but not like the blanket, like, sure, you have a sore throat, here, take this, because they're going to mess up your gut and stuff like that.
My mother used to use a hot, warm onion. She'd heat the onion and put it in a cloth and tie it around our necks.
Yeah.
The smell was bad enough. So you're
also, some people use grated potatoes. You know, so they're different. They have plants have wonderful drawing properties. In terms of coughs, actually many reasons for coughs, but in terms of like colds, either postnasal drip from your sinuses or direct irritation from viruses or bacteria. And we kind of looked at that with the sore throats. The scary thing about coughs is that if the postnasal drip or the throat irritation, if they're not taken care of, then they can move to your lungs. And especially being up here, like in the winter, you really don't want to take any chances with developing pneumonia or pleurisy or any fluid in your lungs. My recommendation would be, like, if you feel a cough coming on, try to take care of it with the echinacea and stuff like that. But if it persists, then, see Helsa, the nurse, and just to have a listen, because you just don't want to take any chances. You just go with them so she can assess what's going on. But there is a really nice homeopathic preparation that you can probably get at the health food store. And it's called, it's put out by a company called Borky and Tapple. So B&T cough is basically the name of it. It works really well. But if you do have a cough and it has gone into your lungs, the age-old mustard plaster, which probably a lot of people have heard of, and you would be surprised with how effective it is. basically all you need is dry mustard and water and say bed sheets or cheesecloth. You want to mix the mustard and the water till you have a paste. You can do a little test on your skin, a little quarter size circle to see if it burns it, because it's pretty potent. Some people really can't handle that in terms of putting it directly on your skin. That's why I recommend putting it in the cloth, but it's just as effective with the cloth, and it's less messy, because it's pretty messy stuff. And where you want to place it is on the back or the front of your lungs. And in terms of finding out where your lungs are, just think of where your rib cage is, because that's what protects your lungs. So that kind of gives you an idea. Your lungs in like right there. They're in the back. Give you an idea about up to here. Anyone to do? Yes?
I was going to ask, how is this rate in terms of Vicks Vapor Rub, which is basically the same concept?
Well, I wouldn't use Vicks mainly because it has petroleum base. That's the only reason I wouldn't use it. I don't like putting petroleum products on my body because they go right into your skin. Mm-hmm. And the same with mineral oil. I mean, it goes into your skin and it dries it out. It doesn't really moisturize. It's good to put more on it because it's just the petroleum stuff. But I think companies are making unpetroleum jelly that they use like on babies' butts and stuff. So they aren't getting the petroleum on their skin into their system. So finding another source that has like the camphor and the menthol in it, those are perfect. But I think there's probably more mustard here but you're right. Mine will probably be the petroleum. In terms of leaving the plaster on your body, 30 to 15 minutes, and 30 to 45 minutes. The next area are the ears. And pick either otitis media, which are middle ear infections, or even like you just have pains in your ears. Hot water bottle, or even a warm washcloth. It really helps soothe things. There's also a product, it's called ear oil, and that has mullein garlic in it. It's just 1 to 2 drops is all you really need in your ears. It's healing and soothing, and it actually goes through the tympanic membrane to heal. The best way to use that is to heat it up. What I usually do is I put like 4 or 5 drops on a metal spoon and just light a match under it just to heat it up. Because it's really, when your ear hurts, putting like a cold drop in it is really painful. And what I do is I take, it'll usually come in like a dropper bottle, the ear oil. But so the teaspoons here, I heat it up, then I draw it back up. And then what I do, I don't just put it right in my ear. What I do is I'll check it right on the inside of my wrist, like you do with a baby's bottle, because you don't really want to be burning your eardrum. And just to make sure that the temperature is nice and soothing. And I usually just put 1 to 2 drops in whichever ear, like 10 minutes, 3 times a day, just with the cotton. Which you want to make sure that you have the cotton, because most of the cotton now is like rayon, and there are a lot of people who are sensitive to like rayon, so you want to make sure this is cotton balls, not puffs. Puffs, I mean, they're really tricky. They're tricky. Oh, in terms of having fluid in your ear, which can either come from allergies or having an infection in there, is you can do ear massage. We can do that one too. So you want to take your 2 index fingers. And what you want to do is you want to start, you can see that right down here where the angle of your mandible is, and draw right down there. You can actually start with the little hole behind your ear, the hollow, and take that down. You're basically tracing the path of the eustachian tube, which that's how the fluid drains into your throat from your ear. So you do that, you can do that 40 times, just like you can do it when you're, I should say when you're driving, but what's your point? Not when you're like moving wood. Or 40 times there. But the next one is this little thing right there? It's called a tragus. And all you need to do is just push that 40 times. Bing, 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 bing. So what that does is it changes the pressure in your ear, because if you feel the pressure build up, you want to help move it down, because the pressure in there means there's fluid in there, which means there's more likelihood that bacteria and viruses can grow. So the idea is to move it out. So when it moves to the back of your throat, clear it up, and then it can grow somewhere else. The last one in terms of ear massage is just take the ear body and just move it just 40 times, because all three of those things just help the fluid drain. I mean, they're simple. I mean, just simple. It's like, you don't have to go anywhere. Just have to have hands. And there are some really great resources in a dining hall when you're sick, like that cold comfort tea, which I've been drinking all week. And I knew I didn't need it anymore when I couldn't stand it, because I don't usually like mint. But it was, like, really good. It has rosemary in it. The only things I could really pick out in there were the mint and chamomile and rosemary. Rosemary is an expectorant, meaning it helps you cough, and it's a stimulant, so it helps you cough, stimulates your lungs to move things out. I didn't move that far down, but it was, in terms of my illness, but it's really good. And chamomile is antibacterial. It's a mild antibacterial. It's also an antispasmodic, which means like when you have like cramping in your tongue, that it helps kind of soothe things down. So it's really effective, and it's mild, so it's not kind of, like, to me, like, mint is too harsh sometimes for me, so I go to the chamomile, just easier for me to deal with. Wintergreen also is a tea in there. It's a really good decongestant. It'll really help your nose run, which is what you want to get out these viruses and bacteria. So people say, you know, with these antihistamines, people say, well, I don't want my nose to run. It's like, well, then you end up with having the mucus stuck up in your nose, and it, you just don't have a chance to get it out. There's also red clover in the dining hall, and that's actually really good for coughs. It's just good for that. Another good thing for coughs, which is something that isn't really a common thing in teas, but cherry. You know, cherry, the plant cherry. I think they use the bark. This is cherry bark. Mm-hmm. To really help with coughs. So that kind of covers the respiratory system. And in terms of finding some of these things, I guess at the in Chelan, the health store. I'm not sure. And if you want to find more about naturopathy, I just happened to bring this book. I mean, I didn't bring anything, so I don't know what I'm doing with this. But there's an address on the back. It's in Seattle, the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and other things. I think some homeopathic things, too, if anyone's interested. And also, well, in Seattle, there's this place called The Herbalist. It's in Ravenna, if anyone knows that. So the address is here, the phone number is here, and you guys can take a look at this. And also, Puget Consumer Co-op, which is around the corner in Ravenna from this on 20th Northeast, or Northeast 20th, how that is. But anyway, if anyone wants to look at this, or if anyone has any questions, yes.
So when you're blowing your nose and it feels like you're pushing pressure out into your ears, then doing that ear thing, does that help release that?
Yeah, because your whole respiratory system is connected.
Right.
Yeah, so it's you're changing, it's like a vacuum is what you're creating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. Go through this thymus thumping again. Why are we doing that?
Well, because that stimulates your immune system, because your thymus is an area that produces white blood cells. Mm. Which is essential for you to be healthy. Yes.
Would there ever be any sort of sensation related to a malfunctioning thymus?
Well, actually, as you get older, the thymus gets smaller. You probably get sicker more.
But you wouldn't necessarily feel pain?
No, it just shrivels up. No, it does. And like children have really large thymuses, really large, and as you get older. So that's why I think like doing the saunas and all that business, I mean, that helps it. Do we need it?
How does it know it's doing? We're doing anything for it?
Well, then you just take it on faith. Now you tell me. I think yours is about right there. They're right there?
Well, I don't know. What are you going to do?
Tapping it, thumping it.
Come in. Well, are you supposed to feel something?
Yes, see, if you don't feel pain? It. Oh, no, it's just like a, it's not pain. More it's just, sensitive. It's more sensitive.
Well, it's very sensitive right here.
So there you go, that's your thumb. Oh, you got it. Yeah, so, hey.
So mine's still alive.
Yeah, here you go. You have been good to yourself.
Where are you?
Uh-oh. He's thinking of zinc.
I needed this a week ago.
Well, what some people do is they take glandulars, and what glandulars are the, yeah, and thymus and spleen. Only if like yours was depleted would I ever do that, because I'd rather like do the thumping and do the immune stuff to kind of get you to do it instead of.
Is that like from an animal source?
Oh yeah, cow. Usually.
What is that question?
Glandulars, like because Bruce.
Yeah.
Well, like what are glandulars?
Well, glandulars. Well, glands. Okay. Right. Thymus is a gland. Adrenals. Basically, they're companies that take different glandular substances from cows, and then they concentrate them up, and then they stimulate our bodies. Mm-hmm. The purest form is from New Zealand, because they're really careful in terms of how they process things, as opposed to the ones that are from the U.S. Mm. Well, that's just like if you're like rolling low. Otherwise, you know, do your thumb and use your own before you use someone else's. Yes.
We've been hearing so much lately about the herbs for arthritis, like glucosamine and chondroitin.
Mm-hmm.
What do you recommend with that?
Well, I think they're really important, because what they're finding as people get older is you're losing the fluid in your joints,
mm-hmm.
and also these things called, they're called GAGs, G-A-Gs, and I think it's I forget what it stands for. Some big long medical word.
Yeah.
And that's really important for the basement lining where the joints articulate. So, because that wears away.
So you would recommend?
I would. A lot of times, though, arthritis comes from foods that aren't properly digested.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that can set up antibody reactions that actually might go to your joints.
What type of foods would that be?
It's an individual thing.
Oh, I see.
Biggest ones, citrus, dairy, soy.
White sugar?
No.
Just haven't been processed properly.
Yeah. Like, for some reason, like, the breakdown isn't complete, so your body distributes it, puts it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And when it leaves your gastrointestinal lining, your body sees it as an invader. So you have these, as I say, antigen-antibody reactions, like what you have, your defense to a new substance, and it just gets planted in your joints. So I think the glucosamine sulfate and the chondroitin sulfate are important, but it's like, why do you have arthritis? Is more important.
Mm-hmm.
That's my why. It's like, okay.
It wouldn't be helpful as a cure.
No, well, it might be, but is that the real problem? Because I run into that all the time. It's like arthritis, you know, I'm supposed to take this. It's like, well, that's not what you need. It's like, let's look at you.
So it's kind of like treating the symptom instead of the cause.
Yes, yeah. So the question is like, why? It's not because people get older. I mean, that's...
That has nothing to do with arthritis?
Well, because I have this woman, she's 80, and she started coming in a couple of years ago. She said, you know, her daughter actually came in first, and she didn't really want to come in, and you know, she's like out there hacking in the waiting room, hack, hack, hack. So she had got Lyme disease, so she finally came in, and then I helped her with the Lyme, and she was okay with it. She was stiff, she like couldn't even get out of the chair. So that we resolved that, and then we started working on her allergies. And now she's like, you know what?
I know when my allergies are off because I start doing the hacking, but she said, I've been hacking ever since I was a kid. So I thought that was normal. You know, so it's like, what do you get used to? What's the quality? You know, so now she's saying, instead of like dragging her in, she says, oh, I need a checkup. You know, so it's really nice to see because she's taking that responsibility of saying, I know what it feels like to have good health.
What were the foods again that caused?
Oh, citrus,
uh-huh.
More oranges, dairy, soy.
What was the third one?
Soy.
Oh, soy, okay.
So one person might be, say, have a problem with dairy, but not a problem with soy, or else it might be the reverse?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because we're individuals,
well, yeah,
and we have different exposures and different strengths and different weaknesses.
What do you know about sheep's milk?
You mean like feta?
No, that's goat.
I thought it was both. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've had both.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know some farmers in Wisconsin that are doing a lot with sheep's milk and trying to get into cheese and stuff, and they were making the claim that if you can't tolerate milk, go to goat. If you can't tolerate goat, go to sheep.
Well, the protein molecules in the sheep in the milk is, they're smaller than the ones in goat and cow, so they would be easier to break down and digest. That's where the problem comes in with the large. Oh, corn is the other one.
Corn.
The protein molecules that are more difficult to digest. All the food everyone loves. I can have corn. I hate it if I have it. If I have that E. coli bacteria, so I'm lucky.
I just found out that I have a precancer state, and so one of the things I'm looking forward to is how can I, at this juncture, build my body up so that I can deal with what's coming medically.
Well, my recommendation would be to go see someone that can guide you through that and not have you do it by yourself. Because there are definitely ways you can turn things around, and they haven't gotten too far.
They haven't.
Good.
That's the good news.
Well, see, now's the time to do it, and don't wait.
Who do you go to, and how do you find out if they're good, and all that sort of thing? I'll be living down towards Chelan, in Wenatchee.
Well, that's why I brought this. You can call or write to the AANP, which is American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and they have everyone in the country listed. Someone that can help you find. Because I know some, where are they? They're in Tri-Cities. Where is this? Hand service?
Yeah.
I've lost my.
There's a book I read by a lady who had what I think you have, although I don't know what you think you have. It's called The Cancer Battle Plan. This is by a Christian lady who went through all the secular American Dental Association, or a medical association. She had chemotherapy, laser, she had mastectomy, 3 years, and nothing the doctor said to go die. And she found a nutritionist. She's in Colorado Springs. And high doses of the things that you're talking about, and in 5 months she was totally cured.
Get that book.
Cancer Battle Plan.
Cancer.
So, the Cancer Battle Plan by Betty something. But if you ask for Cancer Battle Plan, by a woman, Christian woman, she and her husband are writing now. Fantastic.
One of the best things for actually anyone and everyone, especially with a pre-cancer state, is juicing fresh vegetables.
I have a juicer.
What do you charge?
He's my friend.
You use the word healing and soothing a lot. Like, this thing is healing and soothing. Do you generally operate by the idea that if it feels good, it's doing good stuff for you? I mean,
depends on what it is.
Because, like, what I'm thinking is lots of people take, like, decongestants that dry up their nasal passages, and it makes them feel like they can breathe, but it's not moving stuff out. So, how do you know?
How do you know?
Yeah, like, what's the combination between alleviating symptoms and promoting healing, your natural body ability, your body's ability to heal.
I mean, like, how far can you go before you need to take those other things? Or I'm not sure.
No, well, decongestants are soothing.
Right, decongestants.
I mean, you feel like they're soothing because it makes you feel better, but they're not really promoting healing. So,
is there a clear connection between things that alleviate symptoms and that promote your body's ability to heal?
No, you need to know. You need to be informed. You need to know, like, what the decongestants do is you have, like, a rebound effect. I mean, you need to know what they do. That's a good question. Is that it? Well, thank you for coming. This is really fun.